Hi, my name's Tom, and I'm a sinner. Anyone that's ever been to an AA meeting before knows that that is how those meetings begin. You might have gone as somebody who needed it for yourself, or perhaps as a support for someone else. But AA is an organization that has a 12-step program focused on getting to know a higher power. That higher power is what we know as God. But the beginning of the process begins once you recognize that you have a problem. And so for me, about 2 decades ago, I recognized that I had a problem with sin. And it hasn't automatically gone away. But as AA would ask you, now that you recognize you have a problem, what do you intend on doing about it? And so 2 decades ago, I decided to give my life to Christ. I asked him to come into my life, and I was baptized as a public recognition of that faith. That began a long marathon that is still continuing to this day, that has brought me through many different churches, many different denominations. I went from just attending a church to volunteering with different ministries within a church to being paid to go to church, which is kind of cool. But it has been a long journey, and it's been a lot of different people. I might wander, just so you know. I'm not comfortable standing in one place. But that journey has had one consistent thing throughout it, and that's that the people in the churches all helped me to become a better person. They held me accountable for my failures. They prayed with me, they worshiped with me, and every one of those places, no matter what they look like, all helped me to become better. One really fun time in a church helped me realize that perhaps I needed to take a break for a while, step away. It wasn't because of the church, it wasn't because of God. It was because of the humans within the church that made me feel like I needed a little time away. Now, some people I know graduated high school and they decided that they would take a break and they wouldn't go immediately to college. For some of them, they returned, they got their college degrees, and they moved on with life in pursuit of whatever their degree was. Some people never went back. They got into the trades. Some people found McDonald's to be a fantastic place for them. But it all depended on who they were. Church, however, is not the same. When I walked away, I had a good friend. Well, I struggle sometimes calling him a friend. But I had a guy that I knew in that time who walked away from the church as well. We both were going to stay in constant contact with God through prayer, through Joyce Meyer's sermons at night, through worship in our cars to our praise music. But we decided that we would kind of, you know, step away from the church building and see what that looked like. For him, I watched him start questioning his faith to the point where he became agnostic and eventually an atheist and just didn't believe that God was a thing that was operating in this world. For me, watching that process happen, I became aware that I was becoming very cynical. My reading of the Bible slowed way down. I didn't find as much time to pray, and I started listening to hip-hop again instead of the Christian music in my car, which I don't care what people say, affects your mind. And so for me, it just, I felt a separation. In one of my conversations with my friend, he said that there's a book that I should read. It's called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And I don't know if you're familiar with the book or not, or if any of you are readers, but I highly recommend it. A gist of the book is, it's a conversation between two demons on how to keep a Christian away from a close relationship with God. And the overlying theme throughout the entire book is the best way to keep a Christian from growing in his faith is to separate him from other Christians. And so during this process of realization, I figured out very quickly that if I continued straying away, I might have a really hard time coming back. I'm a visual guy, and in the first service, we had a clip from a movie, Dinosaur, which I highly recommend to young people. There's also, if you're a little older and you like gore, there's a movie called 300 that you can watch. And the ending theme in both of those movies was, no matter the size of the person in the fight, what was most important was being unified as a group. This made me think of National Geographic. I don't know if you guys have ever watched that. But sometimes I stumble upon it late at night, and I'll watch, and I'll come upon a very peaceful scene around a watering hole where a lot of animals are hanging out, and there's a wildebeest herd, and they'll be getting water. And then the camera goes and shows a little wildebeest that starts to stray away all by himself. And then all of a sudden, it'll show a set of lion's eyes. And then it'll go back to the very peaceful scene. And they're eating and they're playing in the field, and then the lion's eyes. And then it'll go back to the very pretty, beautiful scene that's happening. And you start, the camera starts zooming in on this wildebeest who has made his way away from the rest of the herd. And that's when it happens. The lion strikes. The lion goes after the wildebeest who has strayed away and is by himself. He doesn't go after the herd. He doesn't go after all the animals that are together. He goes after the one that has decided to wander away. And in 1 Peter 5:8, it tells us that the enemy is prowling around like a lion looking to devour. And that example shows us that it's not the herd that the enemy is going to go after. It's the one who has strayed away. And so between the visual representations and what I knew that I was the one straying away. I was invited by a friend to attend a church, and I fought it for a while. But I realized at some point in time, because I was a professing Christian, I was going to have to go back. And he said, hey, come to this church. It's a church full of people that are hurt by churches. Imagine that. They had to form a church for people hurt by churches. So I thought, okay, I'll go. And I went. And almost immediately, I realized that I was missing fellowship. I was missing time together with other people. These people that would hold me accountable to be a better human. That would hold me accountable to love. And to love correctly. And I realized I'm going to have to end up going back to a church. God doesn't want us to walk alone. And he gives us his word as examples of that. But like I said earlier, we have examples of the world that we know that we're not supposed to be alone in. For any young people out there that play sports, especially team sports, they'll know that you can't be by yourself and be incredibly successful. I don't care how great you think LeBron is, or Steph Curry, or any of that, you can't win a championship alone. Right, LeBron fans? Michael Jordan, in my opinion, is the greatest basketball player of all time. But he couldn't win it alone. He had to have Scottie. He had to have Dennis Rodman, somebody to do all the dirty work for him. You have to have a team of people surrounding you to help you. And for me, it was being with other Christians. So I'm going to read a Bible verse for you. It's out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So this is not just me and my experiences. This is out of the Word saying we are supposed to continue worshiping together. We're supposed to continue being together through hard times and in good times. It's often easy, I think, to hang out with a bunch of people who agree with everything that you say. People that echo your sentiments. I think in the political world, they've started calling it echo chambers, where you just hang out with people that agree with everything that you agree with. That can be really easy, right? People are just constantly reinforcing that, well, yeah, you're right with your thinking. But God, in his infinite wisdom, made every human different. And we all have different experiences. And we all have a part to play in his kingdom. And he puts people together on purpose. Some of the youth might recognize this term, and so on Wednesday I want you to say, yeah, he said it. In youth group, we started talking some about the God Squad, the group of disciples that Jesus put together. Yeah, you're mad at it. The group of disciples that Jesus put together. In the TV show The Chosen, that's on Netflix now, it's a great visual representation of that. Jesus wanders around in the red light district, talking to prostitutes, asking fishermen, who were the dregs of society at that time, to come follow him. But then he goes to tax collectors, who are hated both by Romans and Jews, and he asks them to come. Do you think that the tax collectors and the fishermen got together and enjoyed each other's company? Probably not. They're probably looking at each other and saying, what is this guy doing? He's putting us all together and we don't make sense. But that's the beauty of the ultimate vision of God. Anybody who heard my devotional a couple months ago where I talked about the body of Christ being jigsaw pieces that all fit together? God's vision for us is as the body of Christ. It's not pastor, and then separate from that, Tom, and then separate from that, Miss Terry Ware doing the choir, and separate from that, the ushers. Everybody working together and doing their part is a great representation of what God wants from us. And he puts us together, and he decides who he wants. And so no matter what we may think about that, we don't go against what God has to say. In staying together, we have the opportunity to show the completeness that God has planned for us. He says that we're all part of one body. He gives us many different examples of that. And in Romans 12, 4 through 5, he explains to us what it means. But being together reminds us that not only are we not alone, but that there is a group of people running this marathon with us. We're not isolated individuals meant to walk and be different in the world. How hard would that be? I think young people can attest to how difficult it is being in school, being around a group of people that are trying to tell you who you are and how you should behave. It's really easy to give in to peer pressure and start acting different ways. But God calls us to be different, to be set apart. And the best way that we can do that is by being together, encouraging one another, and stirring that pot. Because as you show me love, and I'm able to show young people love, and they can go out into the world and do that, for others, man, we can accomplish a lot, but it has to happen together. Growing up, church was not a priority. Let's just put it that way. But I did go to church some, and I remember my favorite song being They'll know we are Christians by our love. I don't know if any of you know that. And I don't know if anyone still thinks about that children's song that has so much meaning behind it. And it can be just how you act to another person, but it can also be how a body acts towards another group or to another body. The church that I went to that was for hurting people was a non-denominational Baptist church. It was important to say non-denominational before we put the Baptists in there. But I can tell you this. They helped me to get healthy. They helped me realize I needed people and that people weren't the problem. And so regardless of their non-denominational Baptist background, they played a part in the body of Christ. Just like you all are playing a part in the body of Christ. I know if you've heard a lot of talk recently about staying together and that it's better to be united. And I hope some of these things that I've said help reinforce that idea. For me, it's hugely important that I be around people who are like-minded, who are going to challenge me to grow and to be a better person. And I hope that you can see why that makes sense. And if not, go look at the movie Dinosaurs or the movie 300 or watch a National Geographic tonight and see how a lion might attack a wildebeest. Thank you for getting to know me over the last 6 months and for allowing me to get to know you. I hope that we have time to continue growing together because it is better that way. Please pray with me. Father God, thank you so much for an opportunity to be here and to share my heart. God, I pray that you give those people ears to hear, and I hope that my words were yours. Father, give us an opportunity to grow together and help us to understand how important it is that we do so. Thank you for your love and your encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen.